Hi, it's Lucy, and welcome to a special bonus episode of The Real Girls Club, my podcast where I celebrate and spotlight the incredible women shaping the film industry today. Today, I have a very special guest with me. She's an accomplished actress and filmmaker known for her diverse roles and creative vision. Her name is Louisa Connolly Burnham. Louisa is here with me today to talk about her latest short film, Sister Wives. Louisa also talks about her beginnings in the film industry, first as an actress and then going on to become a director. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy today's episode.
Hello.
Oh, hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good.
You look very fresh. I'm tired because I've been at work all day.
I'm actually fresh because I got up early this morning because I had a meeting. So I did all my, like, did my makeup and my hair, and then it got cancelled, and then I've sort of just been at home.
Which is a shame, because, you know, you said you've done your makeup and everything. Well, thank you for reaching out to me. I mean, it was really nice to hear about your film, and, I mean, I didn't know about it, and it was really nice to be able to discover it and watch it.
And I really appreciate the support, so thank you.
I usually like to start asking my interviewee a bit about their background. So I'd love to know about, how did you get into acting and then now directing? Can you tell me a little bit about your background in a nutshell?
Yeah, so I've been an actress for about 20 years and I've been a filmmaker for about 5. I don't have any family in the industry, so I did kind of have to find my feet myself. I was a very hyperactive child. I guess I was quite performative in my nature, lots of energy that needed to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And so my dad put me in like a little Saturday class doing a bit of acting and singing, tap dancing, ballet, just a couple of hours just to kind of get rid of some of that energy. I started doing that from the age of 9, and I stayed at that little Saturday school until I was about 16 years old. So really fond memories there, and just loved it. Like, as soon as I went to the first class, I was like, this is a bit of me. And it actually had an agency attached to it. It was one of those kind of huge cattle call kids agents,
like what's it called, the Disney Club, or what was, like, the English version of that, is that what it was called?
Literally. So there were literally like thousands of kids on this agency. Wow. they weren't very selective.
Just a lot of parents are really hyper children, like, take them away just for the Saturday morning, please.
Literally. And so I started auditioning when I was younger, and I got my first acting job when I was like 14 years old, and it all just sort of rolled on from there, really. Mm-hmm. And then the reason why I went into directing was, well, first of all, I just love cinema. I love film. I love the process. Even when I was an actress on set, I loved watching all the other departments. I also loved watching the director, how they have to kind of have a grip on literally everybody. Like, they're like the glue that keeps the whole thing together. And I was always so amazed at the directors. And back in 2019, I had an idea for a film. It was my first film, The Call Centre. And I decided that I actually wanted to direct that one. I think I felt like I'd been an actress for long enough that I kind of knew how it worked, and that I could probably give it a shot. And if it went terribly, we'd just, you know, forget it ever happened and carry on acting. But it ended up going really well. So I kind of continued directing after that, and now I kind of do both, really, which is nice. I feel like I'm in a really, like, I'm kind of like in my dream space right now, where I feel like I can dip my toe in both.
And I think they probably both complement each other. Like, whatever you learn as an actress will help you as a director, and vice versa.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that the acting really helps with the writing as well, particularly dialogue. I feel like actors have a good sense of dialogue, and when it feels clunky and when it feels natural, I feel like that's a good tool in my toolbox as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know how it's going to sound ultimately. Like, you can almost, probably when you're writing as well, you can practice saying it and, you know, acting it out. Like, how is this actually going to sound in a film? Was there something in particular that inspired your first short film, The Call Centre?
It was my day job. So I was working in a call centre selling insurance, And I had so much data at my fingertips. I'd speak to like 100 customers a day, and I knew where they lived, what they did for a living, how many children they had, their phone, their email, like everything. And it made me think, like, what if that information got into the wrong hands? You've got all of these call centers for, you know, your phone contract, your insurance contract, your health stuff. We don't know who's working in these call centers because I've worked in them, but there are hundreds of people that work in these call centers and they can't all be, you know, clinically sane. So I decided to write a film about a kind of lonely, messy protagonist that steals some data and makes some mistakes, essentially.
Sounds really interesting because you sold it to me. And I think there's definitely, sorry, there's nothing more interesting than real life situations. Like, I've been in a lot of different jobs where I've thought this would make a really interesting film because you kind of get that weird insight, don't you, in a way, kind of like a bit like a investigative journalist. And because you've got that inquisitive mind and you're interested in acting and stories, like, you can really find stories anywhere, really.
Yeah, I'm already panicking about like what my next story is going to be. Obviously, I'm on quite a long journey with Sister Wives because we are turning it into a feature film. So,
oh wow, okay.
I know that I'm going to be doing that for the next couple of years, and I have this one other script that I'm interested in revisiting, which is more kind of Black Mirror vibes. But other than that, I don't really have. I get panicked that I'll never have an idea again.
Oh.
But I think a lot of writers feel like that, so I'm gonna just.
I think a girl, like my most recent episode, I saw in her Instagram story, she said something very similar. Like, I'm so fearful of not ever having a story idea again. Literally just what you just said to me. So it sounds like a completely universal creative writer's block type thing.
Yeah.
I think actually that's what I put in my review. I said, I would love this to be a feature length. So it's really amazing that you've literally just said that. That's so cool and very exciting. So congratulations for that. So let's talk about, yeah, Sister Wives. What inspired you to create it and what sort of vision did you have for the film on the outset?
So I'm really into researching cults. I always feel like the dynamics within those kind of communities are really interesting. And I stumbled across one called the FLDS. They're essentially an extreme sect of Mormons that are based in Utah. The FLDS stands for the Fundamentalist Church of the Latter-day Saints. And they caught my attention because the women dress like they're in the Victorian ages.
Mm-hmm.
They can't show any skin above like neck or, sorry, below neck. neck down.
Like a mask.
I know, yeah. They can be completely naked. They just have to wear a balaclava. It's really weird. So they can't show any skin like below their neck or like above like wrist or ankles.
Mm-hmm.
They can only wear pastel colors. They're in these like prairie dresses. They can't cut their hair.
This actually exists. Wow.
They're alive and well now. They've been around for years. They keep themselves to themselves, but they're so unique looking from a kind of aesthetic perspective. I thought that was incredibly intriguing. But then the stuff that's going on within the community is even weirder. So it's a polygamous cult. So the men can have as many wives as they want. In fact, the more wives they have, the closer they are considered to God. So
this sounds like something Louis Theroux needs to investigate. Well, you're on it anyway. You're on the case. But I mean, you did say this in the press kit that that's exactly what you've just been describing. But when I was watching the film, I was convinced that it was fictional. Like, I don't know why. I just couldn't imagine it being real, especially since, of course, they were using like, you know, a mobile and stuff. So I was like trying to work out what time. I was like, wait, this feels like we're in the past, but then there's modern technology. So it was a bit confusing at first. So very interesting, though.
Yeah. So when I read about them, I checked to see if anyone had made anything about them from like a kind of like fictional narrative perspective. There's been lots of documentary, but there hasn't been much like cinema. So I was like, I've got to do it. Like, I've got to make something about these guys before somebody else does. And as I say, some of these men have 10, 20, 30 wives within their household.
Wow, that's insane.
And there's no way that he can be getting around to all of them. I have one man in my household, and I could
have
do
one, and it's enough.
Yes. it's enough. And also, like, you know, I think sometimes just having two of us in the household, like, we can't even give each other all the attention that we deserve just because of life, you know, sometimes. So it made me think, what if you were in a house with multiple women and you were really desperate for some comfort, some affection, a soft touch? And I wondered whether they might end up, you know, finding it within each other, particularly if you were queer and you didn't realize it, or you were closeted, like, where could you find comfort, you know?
It's very interesting. I mean, you clearly got a very inquisitive mind, and, like, yeah, it's very something I definitely, like, want to see a full-length feature about. What would you say, like, some of the biggest challenges were when you were making this as a director? I mean, you've directed before, but did this feel different in any way and more challenging or less?
It was definitely my most ambitious short. So it was the longest short that I'd written in terms of pages. I am obviously playing the lead role in it, and I'm basically in every scene. So that was tricky to kind of navigate. Finding the time to watch playback after every take was very tricky. It was very cold. We did it in the first couple of weeks of January this year, 2024. And as you saw, there's a lot of outdoor bits, and we are often in paper thin prairie dresses, so it was bloody freezing. To be honest though, we were really, really prepared. We'd prepped for months, and the team that we had on board, both cast and crew, were sublime. So I really look back at that 4 days in Surrey, which is where we did it, and I can't really remember many disastrous moments. It was so much fun, that shoot. Wow,
that's good. That's a good sign though. That's what you want it to be like. You don't want it to be a slog or whatever you want it. And it sounds like obviously you're very well prepared, and you know, you shared with me the credits, and the team sounded great, and like a lot of women as well working on the film, which is great. And yeah, just obviously everybody was very much on board and excited about the story, and you're excited about the story as well. So I heard that from someone else I interviewed, and they did say it was Catherine Hardwick, I think. She said that it's important for the director to be excited and enthusiastic about their story, because that's just going to infuse throughout the whole team.
Yeah, and I also think one of the jobs that maybe isn't spoken about as much with directing is you set the tone. And I don't mean just setting the tone for the film, you set the tone of the environment, like, and I do try and keep my sets quite light and quite fun and quite silly and energetic. Like, obviously Sister Wives is very serious, there are moments of humor, but ultimately we're dealing with something very dark. But the set wasn't dark, you know, the set was fun and silly and light, and we just had so much fun. There was so much laughter and singing and dancing, and I do think it's the director's job to kind of create a nice, happy, fun, nurturing environment for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. It's just everyone feels good doing the work. Like, if you're all in a good mood and all having a good laugh with each other, the work just flows easier. So that's just, we can go for any job really, but especially I'm sure on set.
Yeah.
I'm sure you're heavily involved then in every stage being the director. How did the casting come about? Because I know you've got Mia McKinley Bruce. Have I said her name wrong? McKenna Bruce.
There we go.
Mia McKenna Bruce. You've both got very long names, these double barrel names. And I'm like, I can't remember every single bit. But yeah, Mia McKenna Bruce, how did she get on board? Because obviously she's now got quite well known because of How to Have Sex. And yeah, like, did she come on board quite late on? Like, how did you go about choosing your characters?
So Mia and I have known each other for a really long time. I think it's about 12 years, because her and I grew up together through the CBBC channel, basically.
Yes,
she was in the Tracy Beaker universe, and I was on this show called Wolf Blood.
Yeah.
And because we were both on CBBC, basically when you're on CBBC, you kind of know each other, like, it's, you know, kind of being part of a club. As you say, it's like the Disney club.
But like the CBBC club.
Exactly. We were in the CBBC club. So we had kind of known each other from a distance for a long time, followed each other on social media, that kind of thing. I always thought, even from afar, that she seemed very lovely. And then we got cast in a TV series together in, we shot it from 2021 to 2022. It was a show called Vampire Academy, which was this kind of NBC Universal show about vampires. And we filmed that for like 8 months in Spain. Mm-hmm. And that's when we really got to know each other, because we'd always known each other from a distance, but then we were kind of essentially stuck in this tiny town in Spain for 8 months, and we had the best time, and I really, really kind of fell in love with her when we were shooting that. And then not long after we wrapped that job, I had the idea for Sister Wives and started writing it, and she was always in my mind for the role of Galilee. I actually was nervous to approach her about it, and didn't approach her about it until a very, very late stage, because she was so busy with the press around How to Have Sex and just launching that incredible film with Molly Manning Walker at the helm. She won the BIFFA, she won the BAFTA, she had a beautiful little baby boy. I was like, I can't ask her now.
Too busy.
She's clearly busy. She's got a lot on. She probably won't say yes. It'll be awkward for her to have to say no to her friend. And then eventually, it was actually my wonderful co-producer, Augusta Woods, that was like, let's just bloody do it. Let's just ask. Because Augusta's really good.
What have you got to lose, I guess? I mean, other, exactly. She'll still see your friend, you know what I mean, even if she couldn't do it.
Exactly. And Augusta's very close with Mia as well. So we were like, fuck it, let's just do it. Yeah. And so we asked her, and she literally read the script within 5 minutes and said yes within about 10 minutes. And her agent...
Well, nothing to worry about.
And, yeah, so that was Mia. Her agent contacted us and we were laughing. So that's how Mia got on board. And then there's also a lovely story around Michael Fox, who plays Jeremiah. Him and I have known each other for even longer, for over 25 years, because him and I went to primary school together.
Oh, wow.
And I sort of, again, we went to primary school together as little teeny tiny tots. And then I followed his career over the years from a distance watching it. We were friends on social media. He really looked like how I wanted Jeremiah to look. Mm-hmm. He's very tall. He looks like he could be a Mormon. And
is that what you said to him? You look like you could be a Mormon.
I thought he looked a bit Mormon-y. And of course, he's an astonishing actor. And I sent him the script and he said yes within about 5 minutes as well. So wow. It was great.
I mean, that's a sign of a great script if everyone was just like, yes, straight away. And I think you're all so great together. There's great chemistry and it doesn't feel... Because like you can watch sometimes a short film and you can feel that it's a short film, but really this felt really... didn't feel like a short film. It felt very like polished and professional. And so can you tell me about making it into feature length? What's going on there and how's that? When's that going to come about?
So it has been written and I feel really good about the feature. The short film sort of plops in the middle of the feature, which is fun.
Okay, so it's still going to fit in within the...
Yeah, so basically I won't spoil too much, but the beginning of the feature, you kind of get to see Cadence and Jeremiah fall in love, which is nice, I think, because you really earn the betrayal as an audience, so that when he does decide to take in that second wife, you feel her heartbreak because you've seen the promises that they made to each other and the love that they have. And then obviously Galilee comes in, but we get so much longer to explore that love story now. It gets to be a much slower burn, which is really beautiful. And then I won't tell you where we go after that, yes, because it's slightly different to the short. Yeah. And I think, yeah, there should be some surprises. And then right now we are just sort of in the process of trying to cast it, trying to find some money, and just continuing to kind of build the brand, build the excitement, whilst also just really enjoying the short film going on its festival circuit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's had really good response on its on the festival circuit. So I mean, that's obviously, was it you that wanted to make it into a feature length, or was you sort of approached about it, or?
We were approached about turning it into a feature before we even filmed the short, which was really exciting, by quite a few people, actually. A few people had read the press release about the short, because we did like a cast announcement, and I think a lot of people liked the plot. As I said earlier, nobody has made a film about these people before, so there's definitely new ground to be explored, which is exciting. And then when we got approached, like at that time, I was like, can we put a pin in this? this. I really need to focus on the short.
Yeah.
Make it as good as it can be. But once we'd done the short and started wrapping up post-production, that's when I started knuckling down and writing the feature script. I always had an idea in the back of my head of what the structure would look like, and I basically stuck to that. So yeah, now we're just in that kind of development phase, mm-hmm. really.
Well, exciting. Well, I'm really excited for you, and that sounds amazing. And what do you hope audiences will take from having watched Sister Wives? I'm talking about the short version as opposed to the feature length, which hasn't came out yet.
Well, I hope it would give people hope. I hope that it would make their heart flutter. I love watching films about love in the most unlikely places. I hope that the film can get to people that maybe are in similar communities like the FLDS. And I hope people can find something within themselves in the film. I hope that it reaches queer audiences. I like to think that we've made a really mm-hmm. lovely bit of queer cinema that's respectful and realistic and nuanced. And I just hope that it uplifts people and makes people smile and maybe even like gets people filmmaking as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm sure it'll do all of those things and more. And it's, yeah, definitely very important for, you know, LGBTQ plus cinema, especially with, well, I would say the state of the world right now, but you know, there's always feels like sometimes we're going backwards. And then when you hear about communities like that, you're like, how does this still exist? And how is this still possible? It seems so backwards. And like you said in your press release, it sounds very similar to like a modern day Handmaid's Tale. You kind of think these things don't actually exist, and then you're surprised to find out they do. Do you think you'll actually go and visit for research purposes, or maybe they wouldn't, don't know if they would allow you to their community?
I would absolutely love to visit that community, even if it wasn't necessarily the members that are still in it. There's a lot of ex-FLDS members in that area. I do have a bit of a pipe dream. One way that I could visit the area, or at least have a good enough reason to go to Utah, would be if Sister Wives got into Sundance Film Festival. That's obviously based in Utah. So mm-hmm. we've submitted the short film to that festival. I'm hoping that when the festival programmers see the word Sister Wives, I'm hoping there is, you know, prick up. So
yeah,
I've got a little dream in my heart that we get into Sundance.
Hold on to that. That sounds like it would be really, really good.
Yeah, and then I can go do a bit of Sundancing and also nerd out on the Mormon stuff as well.
Oh, that's so interesting though. I love that. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today, Louisa. We've gone a bit more than 50 minutes, but I totally don't mind, because everything you said was really interesting. You're a great interviewee. Yeah, I mean, you're an actress, so you're very good at speaking. I'm not saying you're acting, but you're very good at speaking, and yeah, so very enthusiastic. So that's been great to talk about your film and everything.
Thank you so much, Lucy. We really, really appreciate you, Jack, and big fan of everything you do as well.
That's it for this special bonus episode of The Real Girls Club. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Louisa as much as I did. Be sure to check out her latest short film, Sister Wives, and follow her journey in the industry too. And since recording, I've also found out that she is in fact a musician in a duo called Virens. She is definitely a woman of multiple talents, and I highly recommend you go and have a listen to her music. Don't forget to subscribe, rate and review my podcast to stay updated on all my upcoming episodes. You can also follow me on Instagram at Real Girls Club for more behind the scenes content and updates. Thanks for listening, and until next time, I hope you have a lovely day.